Well, if you could turn with me to the book of the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1. Only want to read a couple of verses there. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now I'd like to take out of these two verses these words. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, we'll begin here with the word God. God, who is God over all. There is but one God. The Bible tells us plainly there is one God. When Paul went to Athens, of course, he came across a community of people who had many gods. And they had one altar to the unknown God. And he said to them on that occasion, he said, whom you ignorantly worship, which worship, him will I declare unto you. There is but one God. So God is God over all, the highest authority. He's supreme. He's really the final authority. And of course, the psalmist, he says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 90. So God, we read, in the last days. First of all, we read how that God spoke in the days of the Old Testament days through the prophets to the people, and how that indeed the people had to listen to the words of God as spoken by the prophets. But now, in the last days, and the last days really are the days or the years from the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the rapture of the church, when he comes again to take his own people home. These are roughly the last days. But we're living in the last of the last days. Anyway, we read that God has in those last days, the days of grace. When the prophet spoke in the Old Testament, it was the days of law. But now, these are the days of grace. And then we read, God hath spoken. Really, God is the final word, the final authority. God has spoken. You know, when we're in families, groups, we know that in the family group, the children might be playing and becoming annoying and so on like that. And then the father or the mother will say, right, stop. And of course, it's the final authority in the household. The children have got to stop what they're doing. Pay attention. And that also, even in throughout the land, if we indeed are spoken to by the authorities, then we have got to stop and listen. That we read here of an authority which is greater than the family authority, greater than the authority of the land, greater than the authority of the presidents of this world. It's the final authority. It's God has spoken the final words of grace to this world. It's a message of grace and mercy to the world of mankind, you and me. And so, God has spoken. Who has he spoken to? And we read here that God has spoken unto us. God has spoken unto us. To you and me. To you and me. So, God is speaking to you and to me, even tonight. Not to a prophet as of in olden times, He's speaking to us. And we're going to find out how he is speaking to us. But listen, remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We've got to be attentive to the word of God. We were talking about being attentive to the word in the household, to being attentive to the world, to the word in the world around us, the world of government. But here we've got to be attentive to the word that God will speak unto us. When he spoke unto us, speaking unto us, he doesn't speak to angels in the same way as he's speaking to us, because he's speaking to us in the gospel of God. Can we read? God has spoken unto us in Son, in a person, in Son. Not an archangel, not a dignitary of this earth, kings or princes or rulers of authority. No, he's spoken unto us in Son. What a message. And I say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But I'm going to think about that. God has spoken unto us in his Son. In three ways I want to think of that. He's spoken to us in his Son. He's spoken unto us by his Son. And he's spoken unto us through his Son. And I'm going to think about these three different ways in which he has spoken to us. You know that people are going to think of all, first of all, God has spoken in his Son. And the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is really the ultimate object lesson. God has spoken in his Son. You know, sometimes we come across this occasion where we meet perhaps a young man in his late teens or early 20s, and you look at him, and you look at him, study him, you hear him speak, and you see how he walks and his characteristics, and you say, you're the spitting image of your father. You're just the image of your father. Everything that your father looked like and did and said, you're just exactly the same. And so, it happens, by the way, with young women who might indeed be the image of their mother. In every way, dressing perhaps even the same way, who knows, I don't know. But anyhow, here was God speaking in his Son. You know, there was an occasion when the disciple Philip said, he said, Lord, he said, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us. Show us the Father. Well, you know, the Father, really God, is Spirit. No man has seen God at any time. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to say to Philip, he says, how long have you been with me? And as you've seen me, you have seen the Father. As you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, why do you ask the question, Philip? Show us the Father. And you know, some people even today would say, well, if there is a God, show us what he's like. Who is he? So on like that. Here he is represented in his Son. God has spoken in those last days unto us in his Son. And you know, Lord himself, he said, look, he said to Philip, he said, I and my Father are one. One in essence. They're one. And he could also say on other occasions, he said, the things that I do, the Father would do. The things that the Father would say, I say. because you see, he was indeed the image of the invisible God, as Paul rightly declares to the Colossians. He's the image of the invisible God. And he also mentioned that in him should all fullness dwell. There was another verse, again, in the Colossians, there's another verse that it says there that Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When we think of wisdom and knowledge, we think of God. And here are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and they're found in Him. God has, in these last days, spoken unto us in His Son. In His Son. And when I think of the Son, I think again of the way in which He possibly, He would think. In the Old Testament, we read these words, "My thoughts are not," God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your way, saith the Lord." And, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, His thoughts, indeed, were different from ordinary men and women. You know, He would teach His disciples and teach the people. He would say, "Love your enemies. Pray for your enemies." But completely foreign to human nature. Pray for, love those who despitefully use you. If somebody takes your jacket from you, give them your coat as well. If somebody makes you walk a mile, go with them too. These are completely contrary to human nature. Human nature is really in rebellion against these kind of principles and thoughts. You see, God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." And you know, when you think of the Son, He was so much involved with His Father. He always, if you read John's Gospel, in about chapters 5, 6, and 7, you'll find that it's the Father who sent me, the Father who sent me, the Father who sent me. And you read that, indeed, God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father who sent me. So, His thoughts were different. His actions were different, you know. It was the actions of the God man. He had, indeed, He came with His hands and He would lift children to Him, while others would have thrust them away. He puts His hand upon the leper, while others would find that repugnant. But He had the hands and thoughts of God. And then His feet walked in different pathways from no ordinary men. We read in Paul's letter to the Romans that normally the man of the world, his feet is swift to shed blood, but not the Lord's. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God in the last days has spoken unto us in His Son. But, you know, here's one verse that is of so much importance concerning the Father and Son relationship. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself." God was in Christ, in His Son, reconciling the world unto Himself. And so, the Son, who indeed knew the thoughts of the Father, would indeed come eventually to the place called Calvary, and there be crucified. Crucified for sin. Crucified for the sin of a rebellious mankind. Crucified for you and for me. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Then think of those words. God in those last days has spoken unto us by His Son. By His Son. God has spoken to us by His Son. Well, at this time of the year, creation is all in its beauty. Nature around us is wonderful. When we look at the complexity of life around us, the beautiful wings of the butterfly, the flower with its fragrance, and so on like that, the pattern of birds and animals around us, fish in the sea, and so on like that. And the very heaven itself, the starry heavens, God speaks to us by His Son. As you know, we read this, that in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So in other words, God indeed speaks to us by the works of creation, by His Son. In Colossians again we read these words, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth." And in these verses that we read, "by whom also He made the worlds." So you see, these are the handiwork of God through His Son. God speaks it. In Psalm 19 we have those words, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language." In other words, what the psalmist is saying there, that in throughout the whole earth, people can look at the heavens above and the earth below, creation around them, and they know that it speaks of God. God is speaking by His Son, by the works of the Son. And you know, the He was approved of God, surely, in all His works. God would say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I delight, in whom I am well pleased." God delighted in His Son. Here was what the Son had done, brought into being by the word of His power, the things around us. And we read that He made the stars also. Just like that, He made the stars also. Creation tells His glory. God speaks unto us by creation around us. But then again, God speaks to us through His Son. And I think about the words that were spoken by God the Son. The words spoken by God the Son. God speaks through His Son. And I want to take up four different passages where we read that the Son of God speaks. And I want to go to the four Gospels, and I want to, first of all, take up a little passage when we read of a boy of 12 years old, and this boy of 12 years old is in Jerusalem at the temple, and there in the temple he's consulting and speaking with the rabbis and so on of that day, and they were astounded at his knowledge. And then his mother and father come on the scene, and rather, his mother with Joseph come on the scene and say, "Where are you? Where have you been?" And his words to them, "Wist you not? Don't you know? I must be about my Father's business." These were the earliest recorded words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is going to speak to us through His Son, with words of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to speak through them. And these are the earliest, this is the earliest record of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Father's business is Father's work. That was the work He was going to do. And you know, he was a boy of 12, and already he was engaged in that work. Already he was showing forth that he would fulfill that work to the glory of God. You know, there are many sons who are rebellious in the family circle and would not want to work for the Father. We know of the very words of Scripture, how that the Lord speaks in parabolic fashion. He says, a man had a son, and he said to him, go work in my vineyard. And the son said, I will. But he doesn't. He goes off, hides off somewhere else, and so on with that. But here was one who was going to do the work of the Father. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And of course that business was a work for God, a work of salvation and redemption. And that work was going to take him, ultimately, to the cross. To the cross. And you know, that work was for you and for me. It was on our behalf. It was on our behalf. Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? When you read these words and you think of it, the Lord himself is looking down the avenues of time when he shall indeed be the Lamb of God that beareth away of the sin of the world. And he would do that in his person. He would do it to the glory of God, his Father. Secondly, I would like to think of going through the Gospels in time, of another reading, this time from Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 3, we read how that John the Baptist is at Jordan, baptizing people, asking them to repent and be baptized. And the Lord joins the company. And when John sees him coming, he says, look, I don't want to baptize you, rather you baptize me. And the words of our Lord Jesus Christ is, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And you know, this was someone who was indeed going to be baptized, our Lord Jesus Christ, willing to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, everything that he would do, everything that he would say, would be in righteousness. There was none other like him. When the centurion at the cross saw him and saw his death, he said, surely this is a righteous man. There was righteousness. I suppose righteousness means rightness. Yeah, rightness with God, that's really what it means. Righteousness. And you know, we are so much rebels, sinners in the eyes of a holy God, that there is no righteousness within us. But here is one who says he wants to fulfill all righteousness. And so, in the future, all that he would do and be would be on a righteous basis. We sometimes sing those words, Jehovah should send you, the Lord our righteousness. And truly that's what he is, that's what he was in that day as well, the Lord our righteousness. Going on to Mark's Gospel, we have another little incident there. When Mark records the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1, we read of him going out forth on his gospel campaign, so they call it, so you might call it. And he's calling to the people, and he's saying to them, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. These are the first recorded words by Mark in his gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. And how necessary that is, to repent, to have a change of mind in regard to God. We've got to do that, first of all. A change of mind in regard to God. If we want to have any dealings with God and God's salvation, then we must repent. Repentance comes first in our approach to God. Repent and believe the gospel. So in other words, believe, it means just to trust to cling to and to accept God's word, to believe. To believe. Believe what? The gospel. The gospel of God. As Paul puts it, the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. Gospel. God's only Son provides eternal life. And so, these were the first recorded words in Mark's gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Can I ask you, have you ever done that? Have you ever repented of your sin? Repented, changed your mind about God, and believed the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we come to John's gospel. And the first recorded words by the Lord in John's gospel, found in John chapter 1, and two disciples, John the Baptist, two disciples follow him that particular day, and Jesus turned around and said to them, "What seek ye? What seek ye?" Good question. What seek ye? In other words, we can ask that question of every one of us tonight. What are you seeking for in this life? Are you seeking for health and wealth and such like? What seek ye? And that was the question that he asked these two disciples. What seeketh you? And, you know, we want to ask the question tonight. If we were seeking, if we were coming after the Lord Jesus Christ, what would we ask? What would we seek? Am I a seeker after God? The Old Testament word, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Also, the Lord himself said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things of life shall be added unto you. Ask, he said, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. These were the words that were first recorded by the four Gospels. Then I thought to myself, maybe it would be interesting to read the final words of our Lord recorded by the four Gospels. But for sake of time, we'll just refer to some of them. Matthew records these words while the Lord was on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? The words of the Savior on the cross. The last recorded words that he spoke in Matthew's gospel. And you know, when you think of that, he was indeed forsaken by his disciples, forsaken by mankind. And here he is crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, this must have been a tremendous thing. Tremendous in that here God had communion with God from all eternity past. And now it would seem that on the cross he was forsaken. Why hast thou forsaken me? What a question for the Savior. But these are the final words as recorded by Matthew. And then Mark's gospel is again much the same. But when we come into Luke's gospel, and we read here that final words recorded there, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The final words of the Lord as he hung upon the cross. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. You know, we know that indeed God was well pleased with his Son. And God would indeed receive the spirit of his Son. And in a like manner, we've got people like Stephen, the first martyr, and he also said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, as he was dying. And it would be good for every one of us to know these words and to think about them in our lives. If anything ever happened to us, Lord Jesus, God, receive my spirit. The final words John's Gospel are these three words. It is finished. It is finished. A completed work. He called out so strongly, it is finished, not in weakness. He called in the strength of his voice, it is finished, completed to the glory of God and for the salvation of men and women, boys and girls. So these are some of the words. Time has gone, but I want you to think of what the Lord said about his own words. God has spoken in these last days unto us through his Son. And he said these words, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And he also said these words, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Little verse in the book of the Hebrews, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the message. Again, we would remember those words of John 3:16 and finally, as we finally close the meeting. For God so loved the world, including you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son to die on Calvary, that whosoever, that's you or me, believeth on him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. May that be your portion tonight, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and know eternal salvation. Thanks, God. Let's have a close with a word of prayer. Father God, how we thank thee for the Lord, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who indeed made peace with God through his death. Father, we thank thee for that. We are reminded we were rebel sinners, unfit for God's presence. But now, indeed, O God, through the work of the Savior at the place Calvary, we now have this ability to call thee Father. What a privilege this is. Now, Father, we know indeed that all men do not have this favor. Some are still, O God, in a condition of rebellion against thee. And to all of that reason, we would pray for the gospel this night. The gospel of God concerning his Son. That indeed, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord may be saved. So this is our desire, Father, as we close our meeting this evening, that indeed some might indeed hear the word of God through his Son and believe. So we commit ourselves to thee and ask a blessing now in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.